Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
I'm Christopher Springman. You're listening to Life, Love, and Health on Radio MD. Does the idea of not drinking appeal to you? Maybe abstinence or just quitting drinking? If so, you're definitely in the right place. This is part three of our show with the folks from LifeRing Recovery, an online and face-to-face meeting organization that is secular in nature. And by secular, I mean that there aren't religious components involved with their organization. Our guest today is Jillian Ellenby, who's been sober for 14 years. Jillian, welcome to Life, Love, and Health.
Thanks, Chris.
And Emily Marcus, who has been sober for how many years is it?
Almost three.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is there an age differential here?
I'm not sure what you mean by that, Christopher.
How old are you, Jillian?
I think that's between me and...
And Emily?
I would have to agree with Jillian.
I don't think sobriety has anything to do with age, actually. I really don't.
But there are generational... Let's say you're a generation apart. However, you both came to the same conclusion about your drinking, and you both found LifeRing Recovery. Emily, how did you find LifeRing?
I went to a chemical recovery program through Kaiser in Oakland for help to stop drinking. And part of that program was going to outside meetings. I didn't know anything about recovery, by the way. I didn't even know that it was called recovery at the time. So there was an orientation. They gave out handouts of pamphlets of recovery organizations, including Alcoholics Anonymous and LifeRing, and it was a very simple choice for me.
Now, you describe yourself as a secular person, neither religious or even spiritual. Was that the deciding factor for you?
Yes. Yes, it was. I don't know what I would have done. I don't know what would have happened if I had to go to AA. I mean, I certainly would have given it a try, but it's hard to imagine fitting in with the rules and the restrictions and the exclusivity and the prayers and the holding hands, all those things that just make me uncomfortable. That's just not really the way that I think.
LifeRing. Jillian Ellenby, what are your thoughts about this, about Emily's experience, and is it similar to yours?
Yes, I mean, I got introduced to LifeRing through a recovery program, but I would like to point out to the listeners that although LifeRing is a secular organization, that means simply that we do not use religion or spirituality in the meetings. It's not part of the way that we see people interacting at the meetings, either face-to-face or online. But there are many, 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 many people who are LifeRing members who have a deep spiritual belief, who do have a religious practice. It's just that it's not used in the LifeRing way of doing things as it is in AA.
Tell me, Emily, how did you get in touch with your sober self and design your own recovery program?
I really think that making a decision to do things differently and to commit to that change in behavior is the most important element of my recovery. I really approached it from the beginning as something I was choosing to do, not something I was being made to do or I had to do, but something that I wanted to do and I was choosing to do. And it's been an active part of my life ever since. To me, that is motivating.
Do you feel empowered? I mean, especially empowered because you made that decision, you've taken action, and you've stayed with it for, what, over 3 years now?
Almost 3 years.
What difference has that made in your life?
I don't know how empowered I feel, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I think that it's unfortunate that I have to do this. I'm proud that I have. I'm glad that I've been, successful. It's a positive change for me, but the idea of being empowered by the fact that I am abstemious, I think that it's a little bit sad, you know. I don't think it's all that simple.
Do you understand Emily's feelings, Jillian, about being a little sad about this? Or doesn't that relate to your experience?
I think that since quite some time has passed now, nearly 14 years since I had a drink, it actually really doesn't bother me one way or the other at this point. I have integrated sobriety into my life so thoroughly using this Life Ring method of designing my own tools and methods and choices into my life that I just don't even really think about it any longer. I mean, I can remember being told at certain meetings the 12 steps, and they're always telling you, oh, you should be so grateful. And I can see that that is absolutely sort of very, it's kind of insulting in a way, because people in early recovery certainly do not feel grateful for what's going on in their lives. They just don't. So I think it's, anyway, there we are.
So Life Ring has no step work, no higher power, no sponsorship, no holding hands, and no ban on crosstalk. Is that no ban on crosstalk important to you, Emily? I mean, having a conversation with other folks?
Yes.
Are you going to face-to-face meetings, or are you working online with
I attend face-to-face meetings. I'm the convener of a meeting in Oakland.
Oh, congratulations.
That meets once a week. Thank you.
What has that experience been like for you?
It's been a really good experience. You know, it's a serious responsibility. It's pretty simple to do, but I take it seriously. It means a lot to me. I think that having a place where you can talk about the complicated nature of what this is, this thing that we're all doing. I mean, mind you, we're not just abstaining from doing something that other people do, but it's something particular that we are drawn to in our own ways. And there is not just one way of being an alcoholic. And by the way, I don't necessarily consider myself an alcoholic.
Do you consider yourself to be in recovery?
Yes.
Aha. You say that at Life Ring we don't preach, rather we listen to people express themselves, have conversations, and offer support and camaraderie in this particular and peculiar thing that we're all doing in not drinking or using drugs. That's a very articulate way to put it. That's very passionate.
I think that it's a really strange thing when you want to do something that you're choosing not to do. It's very hard to explain, and it's very meaningful and rewarding to be in the company of others who are doing it too.
What are your thoughts about that, Jillian?
Oh, I agree. I think it's, at first, it's extremely strange, but I think what really happens in the end is that one's brain changes, literally. I'm not talking metaphorically here. I'm talking literally. The connections that used to exist in my head when I was stressed, I used to just have one reaction, and that was, oh my goodness, I need a drink.
Are you talking about triggers?
That's exactly what it is, really, a trigger. Yes, exactly. And my brain thought the connections were made, this stress equals alcohol.
And Emily, by the way, is nodding. Yes, she agrees with you.
So I decided that one of the tools that I was going to use was that every time I had that thought, oh my goodness, I need a drink, I would literally force my brain, and I had this sort of vision in my head of my head on a crank turning around away from that thought and thinking about anything else that just came into my head, what I was going to have for dinner, how my shoes were hurting my feet because I'd put on my 3-inch heels that morning, what I was going to talk about at the meeting coming up, anything that would not be thinking about having a drink. And within a not very long space of time, my brain was missing out that step. I know that I was still having the reaction, oh, I need a drink, but the stress reaction, sorry, but the, oh, I need a drink, was just not popping up the way that it used to, and now it is absolutely, totally gone.
Emily and Jillian, thank you so much. You can learn more about Life Ring at lifering.org. I'm Christopher Springman. You're listening to Life, Love, and Health on Radio MD. Thanks, everyone.